You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 169 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Horse Radio Network. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse, brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we chat with our friend Kyle Rolfes of Mareworthy Charities to learn more about the organization's Mare Match service. Then we're back with New Vocations' Bridget Heasley for a new training tip and adoptable horse of the week. Stay tuned.
And they're off on Retired Racehorse Radio, the podcast that is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse.
This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Kristen, I am so excited because we have stuff going on this year to actually talk about.
Oh, good God. And it's fun. I could do with a little less stuff myself.
Well, that's true. When you have a whole year off of no stuff, it's kind of hard to have a bunch of stuff now to talk about. Oh, it's a little overwhelming.
Yeah, I've packed a lot into January already.
I know. Moved into your new house. How is that going?
That's going well. You know, we're figuring out, like obviously I have paint chips on the wall, like, of the colors I'd like to paint my office, but like realistically we need to get the entire house rewired. so painting the office is not going to happen in the near future, but no, the house is lovely. It's nice and cozy. We're getting pretty well acclimated. I'm trying to post just little snippets of our fun life here on our Instagram account at Painted Forest Farm, so give us a follow.
That I'm very excited to follow.
Yes, thanks very much. Yeah, and it's mostly just me, like, prancing around in the snow because there's just not that much else to do at the house in January. Like, we're not going to start a major
magical
renovation, so it's fine. Yeah, I just, you know, dance around in the snow.
Yeah.
So that's fine. The nice thing is I'm only 5 minutes now from the farm, so.
Do the horses appreciate that?
Maybe. It's hard to tell. So, like, Jumper had that abscess, which I think we talked about last episode, and we had, like, maybe a week or so of, like, things were quiet. And then I brought him in one day and was like, why? Like, what is that clicking noise? So, like, you'd hear, like, clip, clop, clip, clink. And I was like, what is that sound? Like, something's weird. So, you know, I bring him in, turn him around, close the little Dutch door, or otherwise Shorty's like, I'm coming too, and, like, comes into the barn. And I look down and I'm like, what is that sticking out of your foot? And there was, like, a nail. Like, when I say a nail, there's this, like, inverse relationship with nails. Right. Yeah, I was like, of course. There is an inverse relationship with how scary it looks when a nail is sticking out of a horse's foot and how much damage is probably done. Like, if you can see a lot of nail sticking out, you're like, oh, my God, that looks terrible. But, like, that means there's not that much nail in the foot. And if you only see, like, the head of a nail, you're like, that doesn't look as scary, but you know in your heart that's way scarier because that's a nail way up on the foot. Yeah. So, like, fortunately, I could see a big honking chunk of nail, but it looked horrible. Like, it had to have been, like, a 6-inch nail. I've never seen a nail like this. This was, like, a relic of a bygone decade that the earth just decided to spit out at some point this winter, and he just found it just right. But he stepped on this nail with the same right hind that he had abscessed recently, and it kind of went into the frog, but like at an oblique angle. So it was sticking out to the side. When I picked the foot up, you know, it would kind of like swing out, but then I was like, what is going on here? Because he's walking completely sound. There's just a nail sticking out like the side, like from underneath. And I'm like, okay, like, we're not gonna panic, we're gonna figure this out. So, like, call my vet, call the clinic that we go to that's like 2.5 hours away. Everyone is very accommodating about doing like video calls and stuff so they can assess this thing, just because we are so far from like a real clinic. So if you've never had a foreign body in a horse's foot before, like, absolute best practice is do not remove that thing. Like, stabilize the foot in such a way that the horse can put the foot down but not continue to drive that thing into the foot. So if you've never had this happen to you before and you've never, like, read this in your horse first aid, like, let me be the first to tell you, like, do your best, you know, like, tape a wooden block. Or what we did was Eric had an old target in the barn because he and our brother-in-law, they were sighting in a handgun out way out in the field. Yeah. So they had this foam target and I was like, I need that target. Like it was like a half an inch of like very heavy duty foam. And I was like, I need it. So Eric, like without missing a beat, like pulls a knife out and like just decapitates this solid target. And as we're doing that to build Jobber this sort of clog, because I, you know, I have my vet wrap out and tape. I was like, all right, we're going to tape this on and it's going to stabilize the nail so he can't drive it deeper into the foot. And while we're doing that, I turn around and I'm like, Jobber, where is the nail? And he's just standing there looking at me like, what nail? And I was like, where is the nail, Jobber? So he had stepped on the nail with the other foot and just pulled it out. And I was like, oh my God, now we don't know where the nail went. No. So immediately I pick up the foot and I'm like, oh, so we put a dry poultice pad and wrap it just so he can't get more junk in it. And I was like, I don't want to put any other like liquids or packing material in this. Like, we're just going to pack this clean and we're going to go get the trailer and go to, initially I was going to go up to Genesee Valley and they're like, you know what, if we x-ray it here and we discover that you need like higher level of care, you have to then drive to Cornell. So you might as well just go straight to Cornell and skip us completely. And I was like, all right, we can do that. So adding a new, you know, layer to all this, our like well-intentioned, but like on his first winter plow guy, put a bunch of snow in front of the trailer. So that was really great. So our very helpful brother-in-law was out there with a shovel. Like, cause I was like, all right, like you need to do this. You need to do this. Like Eric went to fuel the truck and get snacks. Like Charles went to go dig the trailer out like a champion. So he's there in the night, just like digging. We finally got everything all coming together, got the trailer hooked up. I had the wherewithal in the fall to leave two bales of shavings in there. And I'm not always that smart. So that's the other thing. Yeah. Like ideally have your trailer like listeners ready to go. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is one thing that went right. So bedded it super deep, had him wrapped, had the foot very well wrapped, and like away we went into the night. So by the time we actually like pulled out of the driveway, it's 8 o'clock at night. So we didn't get to Cornell until about 11. Cornell is fabulous. I've never been there before. Like top tier equine medical clinic. You have to drive like straight up the mountain through the town of Ithaca to get to it. And I was like, oh God, like, hang on, buddy. Like if I had a horse with like a serious, turns out there's a way easier way to go, but I didn't know that at the time. So we just like went through town, you know, and there's like, it's a Saturday night. So there's like kids out partying cause it's a college town. And I was like, oh my God, Jobber's probably like, what are we doing? You know, in the back of the trailer. Yeah. So got him dropped off, you know, we're like trying to doze in the waiting room. You know, they took him in. We're like, we handed over the nail because like Eric just put it in his pocket. We're like, what else do we do with this thing? So what they do is they put in some other kind of like contrast object so they can sort of follow the tract left by the nail if the nail is no longer in the foot. And they were able to discern through that and then through testing samples that they were able to get out of that there was no tendon sheath involvement, which was good. The test for the navicular bursa involvement was inconclusive. So okay. To err on the side of caution with him, because he's also, since he has lymphoma and has like a long-term steroid use, they're like, we're gonna just keep him. And I was like, yeah, also I don't have stabling at home. We have like a dry lot and a shelter, but I don't have like a nice fluffy dry stall to put him in. They're like, right,
well, okay, we're gonna keep him. Back to Shorty's foot experience.
Yeah, this is why Shorty went to another state for a few months. So to be safe, they kept him for a couple of days. They did what's called a regional limb perfusion, which is like they basically tourniquet the leg and then they put in like local dose antibiotics just to knock out anything that may have gotten in there. And then after a couple of days, they're like, you know, he's doing really well. You can come on home. Like we know that he's going back to turnout, but like we're good. So I've just been soaking and wrapping the foot every day and he's on twice a day, like heavy dose of antibiotics, but he has not, knock wood, he's not taken a lame step. So I think we got really, really lucky. But definitely like, yeah, punctures in the foot is something like don't mess around with. So yeah, lessons learned would have been to have the trailer like dug out all the time. And like, even already, like I know there's a snow pile in front of it now and I'm like, I really should get over there and dig it out again. I would definitely do that. And just to like be a little more on the stick, like it did take us like a couple hours just to get all the moving parts together in order to leave, which was not great. But it all worked out okay. So, yeah, that's just Jobber continuing to make himself expensive.
Hey, horses be doing horses. You're the horse. Everyone's excited about it, but they are unpredictable.
Yeah, this is not what you want, people. The year of the horse, I'm not feeling very good about it. So, yeah, how about you?
Nothing exciting because Astrid continues just to be a feral potato in her natural element. Just
good for her.
Eating as much hay as she possibly can at all times. I'm like, you don't need it, but that's fine.
Doesn't matter.
She is awful to everyone at the barn except me. The girls have been lovely because I can't make it to the barn as much as I want to with the twins. And they've all tried to help with like cycling blankets and everything to make sure she's comfortable. And she runs away like she's never seen a blanket in her life, ever. I'll get texts of like, your horse is a menace. And I'm like, I don't see it. Because I go there and she runs right up to me like I'm a Disney princess, and she gets cuddles and she gives me kisses. And like, I bring her in the barn, she's a perfect citizen. So either everyone's lying to me or my horse might know a lot more what's going on and is trying to cause trouble. I don't know if she's just trying to guilt me to make me come more often, or if this is just a very fun game for her.
Yeah, don't really put that out there because then she'll find a nail. So
she will. Who knows what she'll end up finding? Come back with like a 2x4 going through her body or something crazy. Jesus.
No.
But and she'll survive it because she's a cockroach. But
she's very sturdy.
She's a very sturdy girl. It's all the fat. She's cute.
We're so kind to our animals. God, yeah, people will listen to this and be like, ah, that's two true horse lovers right there.
It's like a big teddy bear right now. It's so fun. Unless you're another person trying to care for her, then she's not. But that's really all my horse news. But the real circus is my house. It is small once I added in two children. And I am losing my mind. The walls are caving in on me. And after some very fun experiences with my children, including my son, who, God bless this child, I love him. He cracks me up on the daily, but he's a lot of human and on such a small body. He really enjoys helping with diaper changes by grabbing the diaper, clutching it as close to his body as he can so you can't take it. He belly laughs when he does this too. And then as that's happening, he pees on himself and his clothes. And sometimes he'll spit up after you change those clothes. It's like a 20-minute ordeal. And so by the time I'm done getting him to be a citizen that can come into the house and socialize with everybody else, I don't enjoy tripping over the dog, tripping over the toys, having limited space to do anything. And so I have convinced Zach that unless he wants me to become homicidal towards him, not the children will forever be safe, but towards him, I need more space. So we are potentially building a new house.
Woo! Ooh, that's so exciting. Build. Oh, so you can like get it exactly how you want it.
Yes, because Metro Detroit Real Estate is on one. We were looking at buying something existing, and it's basically the same cost as a new house. So we're like, well. And it's, I don't really have big needs. Like, I really just need two extra rooms. I need 400 square feet more. I don't have big ask. Yes. That, after looking at the market and just really thinking about what we can do here, we found a very lovely opportunity that's 10 minutes away from family and support. It's also 10 minutes from the barn, so maybe I can enjoy my horse a little bit more. And it's kind of like a smaller neighborhood. There's only maybe 10 houses in it, and they're all like an acre lot. So I can keep chickens at the house if I want to.
Do that for me, because I don't think we're ever going to go the chicken route. So.
Yeah, I'm excited. We can actually do like some small ag stuff there, which is fun.
Oh, yeah. Then we can open our joint like weird homesteader podcast together.
I know. So yeah, we're exploring that. We put a reservation on one of the properties, and we actually got to meet
who our potential neighbor might be if we sign on. So he seems great. And so we'll hopefully make a decision by the next podcast if we're building or not, but I'll have some house content too.
Oh, exciting. Oh my God. We are on the same journey.
Always. We're forever
twins. To a certain extent. I'm not intending to have twins.
Yes. It's always happened.
You had two because I didn't want one. So you had two for both of us.
I did.
That's what we did.
For you.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. So forever seeming to continue to have parallel lives. I don't understand it, but we're glad we can bring that content to everyone. More in that space here. But I know listeners didn't come on to listen all about our homesteading dreams. They've come on to listen about aftercare and retired racehorses and how they can potentially find one and adopt one. And before we get into all that, because that's what we're bringing you today with our guest, we're going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products. Are you seeing any of the following signs of vitamin E deficiency in your horse? Stiff, sore muscles, neurological issues, lack of energy, poorly developed top line, or a weak immune system? Studies show that vitamin E levels drop when horses don't have enough access to fresh green grass. Elevate Natural Vitamin E can help, a research-proven powerful antioxidant. Elevate maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune functions. It does this by delivering a highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is preferentially absorbed and retained in the horse's tissues. Elevate comes in four formulas: a fast-acting water-soluble liquid, a maintenance powder for long-term care, a concentrated veterinary formula powder, and a vitamin E and selenium powder. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974. Well, I'm super excited to bring on our guest today. We have Kyle Rofus from Mereworthy Charities Horse Husband Stable. Many of you know him as Kyle, the OTTB guy. You have a lot of names, Kyle, and a lot of things behind you, but you are very much a figure in the racing and aftercare world now. But welcome back to Retired Racehorse Radio. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm glad that I am welcome back. I'm glad to be here.
Well, of course, you're a close friend of mine. I always like to brag that I feel like I have one of the betas from Mereworthy. When you were first kind of putting the concepts together, my horse came from Kyle. And so we've been close friends over the years. It's been very cool to watch you put Mereworthy Charities together, and I'm happily on the board too. But you are constantly looking at ways to innovate it and bring more education and more opportunities for people to find their forever mare and become Mereworthy themselves. And with that, it's Valentine's Day. And I love the newest initiative you're doing because it feels like you're finding your match made in heaven, and that is Mare Match. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, so Mereworthy Match was actually launched as a free website for anyone to list a thoroughbred mare for rehoming, whether it's a nonprofit organization that is just wants an extra arm for marketing, or an individual that is kind of striking out on Facebook as the standard for trying to find a home. But it comes with Mereworthy's support and resources on the back end, so that it's more than just a classifieds platform. It's really a classifieds platform with the option for lifetime follow-up and resources.
I love that. Tell us a little bit. Well, you know what? I skipped over, assuming everyone knows about Mereworthy, because I post it regularly if anyone follows me on social media. Can you tell us a little bit about Mereworthy Charities and what that's all about?
Yeah, so Mereworthy Charities is a fairly young nonprofit based in Kentucky, and we focus on retired thoroughbred broodmares. So it's a market population that's really kind of been underserved for a long time. There hasn't been a lot of focus on what happens with retired broodmares when they retire from the breeding shed, and where do they go? What kind of homes and options are there for them? So we're really working to solve that gap and help find homes for these mares. Some of them go on to riding homes. Some of them go on to be nannies. Some of them live here at the farm in retirement for the duration of their lives. But really bringing attention to these retired thoroughbred broodmares to ensure that they have safety nets, and that we also are thinking about upstream solutions to help give them thoughtful retirement.
I always like when you mention upstream, because like you and I have spoken like for different articles and stuff that we've written. And I think that concept of like fixing the problem upstream, I think sometimes we get so in the weeds, right, on like help the individual horse in front of us. And that's very critical. But dive into that a little bit. What do you mean by like an upstream solution?
Right. So we have we want people to start thinking about retirement planning from the moment they get a mare, right? So if you have a mare that you're going to breed her, you should be thinking from day one, hey, if something goes wrong with this pregnancy, or if, am I going to breed her a second time? If something, what happens when she ages out or she can't get pregnant? At that moment, I should be thinking about it. The challenge is there aren't a lot of options for retirement. So people are in that moment saying, well, I don't know what to do. And then they come to that decision point and they need to make a quick decision. We want people to be thinking more in the earlier moments. So a good example of that is typically we have a large reach out in early summer and mid fall of people looking to rehome mares. And it's because either in early summer, the mare went to the breeding shed and didn't get pregnant. And so now they don't need her anymore. They want to find a home for her, right? And it's kind of bound to that. Or in the fall when they wean, they now are, well, we weaned, we're not breeding her back. What we've started to get is calls. This past October, I actually got a call from an individual who's looking to retire his mare. And I immediately assumed now. He was prepping for next October. So he was actually saying, I plan to breed her in the spring. I'm hoping that she will take. If she doesn't, I'm going to need to plan for her retirement. But he's thinking ahead. So when we think upstream, we think about preventing the problem. Obviously, our goal and metric we're looking at is how many mares end up in the slaughter pipeline. How many of these mares, because they age out, there isn't a solution, there isn't an option. If we can give people a solution and tell them here's the good thing to do, then they can make that decision with options rather than the in the moment solution where it's like, well, I've got this dealer at my door who's going to give me $500 and promises she will go to a good home. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to make people think ahead. Estate planning is another upstream solution, right? Plan your estate. So if you have 80 thoroughbred mares, you probably should have a really good will in place and good estate planning in place so that you have an upstream plan rather than your family having to make a decision in the moment.
Oh, right. Yeah. Cause like that's how the 26 thoroughbreds, right? The original 26 thoroughbreds, that's where that came from, was no estate plan, you know? Yep. Cause that was real the first time.
Yeah.
The next 57 iterations were not, but the first time that was legit. So
right.
I've made this point before on this show, you know, that like ideally the goal of any good nonprofit is to basically put itself out of business, which is a little bit like that strategy, right? Like if you are really successful in pushing those upstream solutions, you maybe don't have to work as hard on finding all these mares' homes later. So that's a really cool
goal. Is, we are not opposed to breeding. Like Sean and I, as individuals, are breeding thoroughbred mares. So like we're very much not opposed, but we are talk about responsible breeding. And so part of that upstream solution too becomes retiring the mare and understanding what risk factors are there so that you know that it's not, well, my only option for is a breeder again, or maybe one more foal, right? We talk about, in the racing world, we talk a lot about the one more race concept of don't do the one more race thing, right? That could be the worst race of their lives. And same thing with one more foal. Like, why are we thinking? So if you understand, well, this mare has aborted the last year, the year before that, she didn't get pregnant. She's older, she's eight, right? And we can give her a chance at a great home. Goalie's a great example of a mare who came through Mareworthy, competed at the Thoroughbred Makeover in the Broodmare division, and is now killing it in barrels. Well, they retired her at seven from breeding. And this is a mare who sold for $270,000, but couldn't get pregnant. Well, instead of continuing on this pattern of trying to get her in foal, they responsibly retired her young enough that she now has a huge career ahead of her. And she's in a really great spot because they were thinking that way rather than, well, her only function is breeding.
Yeah. I feel like what you really offer outside of just the sanctuary space is the education piece.
Right.
Like you're taking it that step further to really show the options to kind of challenge the status quo. And when you say it like that, Kyle, it makes it sound like it's such a simple solution. Like just think ahead a couple steps.
Right.
But just like everything else, we get so stuck in the day to day, right? Like your immediate present or your past, not many of us are truly thinking about the future, let alone the future of our animals or our horses. So I think what you're trying to do here, a lot of aftercare programs can take something away from that and try to offer a similar thing, whatever their aftercare support niche is. So it's very cool, all the things you're putting together there.
And it's a lot of it. It's networking. It really is at the end of the day. Kristen, to your point, right, about getting yourself out of business, that's that part of saying, hey, when the right solutions are out there and we celebrate the people who are doing it well. So farms like Claiborne Farm, who have actually made a change to their policy about what horses they will sell at public sale for their clients and reducing their board rate for their clients when they want to retire their mare so that it's much more affordable for them to choose retirement at Claiborne than it is to move them somewhere else. Farms like Godolphin that are doing lifetime care the whole way through and tracking them. A lot of small farms around that have retirement built into the day that they foal or have already made plans in advance. But if we don't celebrate those, and then the other part of it, Joy, to your point, right, is that celebration of the mare themselves. So the awareness and education about, hey, there's this 18-year-old mare going through the Keeneland sale. I'm not shaming anyone about that because that is a safe place to transition her. We have a public record of who bought her and who sold her at that point. So there's a kind of, I'll use the analogy of a whale coming up for air, but there's that moment of she surfaced again. So while they're in the thoroughbred industry is the safest time for them. We have the most traceability during that time. When they leave the industry is the scariest point. It's when we lose track of them. So if we can celebrate those mares at the Keeneland sale who are 18, 16, 17, don't normally get attention, it raises awareness around this is a horse who matters. And their last pass connections come forward and actually get excited to help support that mare, track them down. And we've seen the most engagement on why we should celebrate them. So it's that education and awareness piece that I think if we're not talking about it, hell, I'm going to go straight to, if we're not talking about euthanasia as a humane solution or as a humane option for a 22-year-old mare who, if you can't afford to feed her anymore, it's a lot more humane to euthanize her than it is to make her move to a new home. Those are things that are hard to socialize. They're hard for us, but it's how do we educate the public about those pieces and how do we give them alternatives when that's not the solution they want to pick? And that's how we're playing that game. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think to the, like, some of the niche that you're filling, like, and this is why, you know, as much as we'd love to be like, oh, Mareworthy put itself out of business by fixing it upstream, like, there will always be a need for your services because right. I think a lot of people maybe don't think of it this way. You know, you think of the Claibornes and the Godolphins and the giant farms with the rolling fields. But the reality is there's a lot of individual horses owned by people who don't have a farm themselves, right? Right. And, like, that's their level of involvement in the industry. They own the broodmare, they breed the mare, you know, they sell the foals or they race the foals and they get behind them all the way. But when it's time for retirement, they may not have the option of like, right. Oh, just put her out in the field. Well, like what field? You know, like right. They might live in New York City and they don't have a field. So they right. need to find sanctuary or another route for that mare.
Right. Or they're paying $800 a month to board that mare. And so we need alternative options. We have, you know, some people that we have retirement farms where we know that we can say, well, this is only $400 a month. And they're, oh, I can afford that for retirement. But they don't have the option, like to your point, to just put them out in the backyard. Right. They don't have that backfield. And then some of the conversations we're having going forward are around how do we network available land within central Kentucky and then build that model for the rest of the country that farms that do have space are able to open that space for individuals that might need it. On a day rate, right? You're still paying, but it's at a much reduced rate. And how can Mareworthy help coordinate, facilitate, and subsidize that through programming?
Oh, that's fascinating. Never thought to take that angle before. That's like, yeah. It reminds me of, you know, like the larger horse rescues that are able to run a hay bank.
Right.
You know, and that can be the difference between a horse ending up at a shelter needing yep. adoption and a horse staying home while people just figure out how to make ends meet.
Yep.
So and something like reality, that, that's really cool.
There's a reality that some just need to transition hands, which is why we were looking at how do they do that today, right? And what's the easiest way? The industry is behind public sale, right? That's something they're aware of. The thoroughbred industry, right? We understand Keeneland, Fasig, Tipton, OBS. The digital sales have become a big thing now where you have the online sales where I think are great for the mares because they never have to transition from the farm to the sales ground back to another farm. They get to go straight from one home to another. But of course, digital sales create another concern around how easy it is to list them and, you know, what is all that. So what we said, well, wait, if people are willing to do online digital pieces, how can we build a platform that makes it easy for them to do that for that person who maybe has more time to home the mare, and maybe wants to sell it, or maybe wants to, they want to sell her, or they are willing to kind of put her through an adoption agreement with us. And that's where we built Mareworthy Match, was as a solution to say, here's a website that you can list your mare for free. And it's thoroughbred mare specifically. So it doesn't have to be a retired brood mare, because we also understand the broader message. But there's no sorting when you search for thoroughbred, and there's no sorting to search for mare, because everything on it is a thoroughbred mare. And the goal of that new platform, it's fairly young, it's less than 2 months old, is for people that have that mare that I don't have my own farm, I can't afford to pay retirement, or I just don't know what, is they call us and we can't take, we're over capacity at our farm. So this is serves as some of our wait list as well. It's, hey, put your mare here in Mareworthy Match. We'll promote her through there and hopefully find a home for her while we're waiting. If we don't, and she's still looking for a home and we have space open, we can contact you. But it gives you a platform to say, we as an organization are going to spend money to promote this platform so that we can help find a home for these horses and then make those connections. The added benefit is we now also will add ourselves as a party to the transaction so that we can actually help follow up lifetime on that horse, so that you're getting some sort of, you know, you have the option to say, great, Mareworthy's going to follow up on my horse. I feel like it's going somewhere, rather than a public sale where anyone can buy it. I now get to screen that buyer a little bit, or that new home a little. And it actually works in a sense of that transition. So it's, we call all the statuses on it things like in a relationship, looking, seeking a human, the mare seeking a human. Eventually we will launch human seeking mares, and that'll be for those in search of ads, right? For the humans that are looking for their perfect mare.
Oh, but for now,
right? And that. Then once they're rehomed or marked rehome in the system, they're marked as in a relationship. So we can kind of have, and then if a mare is reported as deceased, right, which we want to keep that, we want to be able to have the information, we can share it with the jockey club. We actually will update the jockey club's traceability survey. So we're helping kind of bridge that gap between the post-racing, you know, post-thoroughbred industry and the thoroughbred industry, but we then mark them as over the rainbow. So they have statuses that are a little more, we thought about it like a dating site, right? With Valentine's Day coming up, right? It's that we've got that match idea of this is mares trying to find their perfect human. And some of them might be rideable and some might not. And some might be listed for 10,000. We have one on there right now who is a previous makeover competitor. Corner Three is like a great mare who's already proven herself. So she's going to go on to a home as a riding home. So there's a mix of a lot of different horses on there.
Okay. Yeah. So that was going to be my next question, is like, what level of involvement can you get with the jockey club to report that information back to them to help with traceability? Like, I know that traceability survey is open now, but that's not a permanent reporting. That's a temporary survey, correct?
Correct. I'm not sure what the long-term plan is for it, but I do know that there are other back-end systems. So like things like when you mark a horse deceased in the Jockey Club Interactive Registry, those are pieces a lot of people forget to do. Also transferring ownership. You can't transfer digital certificates easily in the system, but we actually, what we did was in our back-end system, when someone marks a horse rehomed, there's a statement that they have to accept that says, we hereby give agency to Mareworthy Charities to report on our behalf to the Jockey Club.
Oh, okay.
So we just kind of added that little legalese in there to kind of allow us to do that. And then we have a close relationship that continues to get stronger with the Jockey Club that we want to help inform and advise and grow. And the Jockey Club, like Thoroughbred Incentive Program, is a great tie into there. Kristen Werner at the Jockey Club has always been a great advocate for aftercare and for programs that are about traceability. So I don't know if the traceability survey is going to be a long term, but I do know I believe it's intended to inform future reporting outlets and what's the right way to report those.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the way I understood it, because I was researching it recently for a different article. And I was like, okay, I think this is like, it's partially yes to collect data on the horses that go into the survey, but some of it is also just intended to inform in general. But yeah, it is, it's a little, you get into the Jockey Club Interactive Registry and it's a little overwhelming to figure out like what to do. So it's really helpful that you're able to serve, you know, kind of as a guide, you know, to kind of take that administrative burden off of people. Cause it's not super intuitive when you get in there to figure out like what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, the other side we thought through was, we have a section of the Mareworthy Match website that's called Where Are They Now? And the goal is that when a horse is marked as as rehomed in that system, they automatically move to the Where Are They Now section, which is just somewhere where people, the general public, can find a mayor that maybe they were tracking, right? They wanted, and they can raise their hand. So like Thoroughbred Connect, which exists within the Jockey Club, this is a tool for the general public to see a mayor. Oh my gosh, worthy of wings. I used to groom that mayor. They can actually mark that mayor in the system as I'm available to give her a home in the future. That comes to Mayor Worthy, so we can then track that. Or if they have a welfare update, right? They saw that mayor standing in a field and she's not doing so well anymore. And they know it, that's a place for them to come. So we want to be a resource for the general public to be able to come and find information. And then we can help feed that information as a one-stop shop back to the Jockey Club as needed. It also just helps us know that when we put a mayor on there, so we still have to add the January and November Keeneland sale mayors, and then the Fasig Tipton mayors are coming up. Those mayors who are 16 or older that sell through that sale, we'll be adding them to the Where Are They Now page so that we can show we know who bought the horse, right? So it's that last record. That information is available in Equibase to anyone to find, but this is just a way for us to put it in one place, and it's already refined down to thoroughbred mayors that you might want to track. You can come on there. Alpha Centauri is a great example of a mare who sold in November at the Keeneland sale. And when we started sharing about her, one of her previous connections stepped forward and said, I would love to give her a home when she's ready to retire, right? So that ability, she reached out to us via email, but then someone else might find a mare on the Where Are They Now page and say, oh my gosh, if she ever needs a home, I'm happy to give it. And now if someone reaches out to relist her or ask us about her, we already have a list of people that we could connect them with.
This is so comprehensive. I feel like you've thought of everything.
We'll learn as we go. That's the thing. We've already made edits, and it's me as a developer, like building it. I'm not a web developer. So the entire structure of it was built with me using an AI platform. It's pretty amazing what you can get done at 3 a.m. with AI. So several hours of my time, but so it's managed and platformed that way. And we're, you know, going to eventually probably be able, when we have the funding, to be able to actually hire a real web developer and designer. It's right now we'll just keep building onto it and adding on. There's a lot of notification systems we want to be able to build into it. But at the end of the day, it's pretty comprehensive for an initial launch.
That's awesome. So Kyle, I'm looking for a mayor. Let's give the exact website to find Mayor Match. Then how would I go about getting approved to get this mayor?
Yep. So literally you just go to mareworthymatch.com. So MAREWORTHY match, MATCH.com. And that's your browse interface right there. You can see some of the featured mayors on the homepage. And then to contact about a mayor, you literally just click and it opens a contact form for you. If you're posting a mayor, you do have to create a free account. And that just is a piece there. We did have it turned on that in order to reach out and contact, you also had to have a free account. We realized that was a barrier to entry. We don't want people to not feel like they can contact about a mayor. And then from there, it literally just flows an inquiry to us that we can review and we forward to the listing person. In the future, that will all be automatically connected so that we do have a messaging platform built into it it was on and we turned it off. We hit it for a minute, but eventually you'll be able to go into your dashboard and see that. So as far as getting approved, it's literally just finding the mayor that you really like, clicking a little thing to send a message about it. It asks you some questions. It's a little inquiry form, like what are your goals for this mayor? What state will you be having this mayor live in? Some basic information, but nothing that's horribly personally identifiable. And then that information goes to the person who listed the horse, whether it's a nonprofit organization like Mayor Worthy who listed a horse or an individual. And then they can reach out to you directly and say, hey, I'd love to talk to you more. Let's chat. We really want placement. And this is something the ASPCA drives for a lot with their Right Horse Initiative. And we've really adopted is we want placement to be consultative. So it's not about providing, you know, your pay stubs and information about everything. It's about having a conversation. And we want to encourage those listers who post a horse to do the same thing. So we provide them with information about questions to ask a potential buyer. What should you find out about them? Asking them questions about a farrier, their experience, but do it in a consultative way. And then at that point, if they really like you and you want to, it's a private party transaction, which is an option. You just go directly through them. If they wanted Mayor Worthy involved, they'll let us know and we'll reach out and say, great, let's walk through what our adoption agreement looks like. You're going to agree not to breed her. You're going to agree to let us follow up. You'd fill out our adoption agreement, and then the mare can get moved to your farm.
I love it. As Kristen said, you've really thought of a lot of angles here. I know as it continues to evolve, it's only going to get easier. I applaud you on the way that you bring a customer service lens into aftercare to make it easier for anyone who's trying to learn, trying to adopt, trying to help, volunteer, whatever it may be. You really work hard to clear pathways for people. So applaud you on that. And Kyle, I'm super excited to see it. And I also think that Bumble needs to learn about this service too, because I think a lot of women would appreciate getting a info card from available partners to learn about what their intentions are. They probably love that. So they should give you a check for R&D on their end.
Yeah, seriously. Well, yeah, this is like matchmaking done right could be your tagline. Yeah.
We also wanted the person posting. So there's nowhere that someone listing a horse, they are not required to put their email address and phone number out there. Right. So they're listing and they create their account, and you can click on their profile name and see all the horses they might have available. So like Mareworthy Charities has its own page then. And there's a dashboard on the back end where you can manage your horses. But we didn't want it to be where, the barrier shouldn't be that I would have to put my phone number up and the entire world might spam call me. It's that, you know, when I really like someone, I'm going to give them information. So we wanted to do it initially. It was all through the platform, but we realized that's a horse. I think Joy, right? You and Kristen probably would agree. You go to click on, I'm interested in this mare, and it pops up with create an account. You probably aren't continuing forward, right? So that makes it a lot harder for you to find that. The benefit to Facebook, right? When you post a mare and one of these Facebook groups, you can just message the person directly. That also means there's a lot of tire kicking that goes on. So looking at it from the lens of both the person listing the horse, you don't want to deal through and go through all that process. And the person trying to shop for a horse, you want to be as easy to reach and get information about that horse. And then we do it all through, since it goes through our system, we're able to actually monitor that those pieces. So if someone says, hey, I didn't hear from so-and-so, it's coming to us, so we can act for now as kind of a switchboard, which helps us at least add a layer of, hey, Joy, you listed this horse and three people have contacted you about it and you're not responding to them. Like, do you really want to move the horse, or are you having second thoughts? Or, I never got those messages. Hey, no worries. Let's make sure you're getting it, so we can kind of act as a concierge that way.
I love it. It's so well thought out, and I've gotten to play in the tool. It is a really well done site. It's only going to get better. So check it out, mareworthymatch.com. People, it's going to be great. And if you're maybe not sure a mare's for you, please message me personally. I will tell you they're the best all day, every day. You're just going to get the best horse possible. And Kyle is a wonder also helping to match people to horses, can personally attest. So if you're not sure what you're looking for, I would message him too. Where can people find you, Kyle?
They can contact us through mareworthy.com is our primary domain name, and emailing us at info@mareworthy.com is always a great way to reach out. I will say too, if you're a first time horse owner or you've never had a horse, we will be relaunching Mareworthy Academy again in March. It's for first time horse owners, but we also, retired broodmares are a great first horse. So you don't need to ride them. You can just love on them. They love to be groomed, and they're going to be a lot lower maintenance. They've had babies. They're going to take care of you. So if you're looking for that first horse too, it's definitely consider a retired broodmare.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us today, Kyle.
Thanks for having me.
Calling all retired racehorse fans in the Mid-Atlantic. Don't miss the Retired Racehorse Project's Thoroughbred Wellness Expo on Saturday, February 28th at Virginia Tech's Marion DuPont Scott Equine Medical Center. This immersive day of classroom sessions and live demonstrations is designed to give thoroughbred owners confidence about navigating sport careers after racing injuries and outcomes. Learn more and register for the expo now at therrp.org/events.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Well, it is that time of the show again where we have on a representative from New Vocations that we get to pick their brain about a training challenge and meet a delightful adoptable horse of the week. Today, Bridget, New Vocations released some absolutely delightful photos of you on a horse in all your Christmas gear, and it was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
If you did not see the other snow day photos that we posted, I think maybe yesterday, of our horses here at Richwood having a grand time in the blizzard, definitely check those out too, because they are also actually the same horses featured in some of them, and he is especially ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah, I'm scrolling down a little further. These are absurd. Why is his tongue out in every single picture?
All of them. Every photo of every horse yesterday was just tongue everywhere.
God, standardbreds are great. People, yes. Like, do not sleep on these horses. They are the fun. I say this all the time. Wes is the funniest animal I've ever had in my life, and it looks like they're all the same.
They are the most ridiculous creatures I've ever met, and it's great.
They're like horses, but like if you like took a cartoon and then put it back into horse form again. Like, they're so absurd. I love them. Oh gosh. All right. Well, for once, Wes is not the source of my troubles. So today's training question, is a little more general, and it probably has nothing to, I know it has nothing to do with breed, but you're a trainer, you get lots of horses. So I'm gonna pick your brain on this anyway. If you have a small herd at home, how do you cope with horses who are buddy sour?
Yeah. You know, they do love their friend time, and a lot of them do get very attached to each other. The most important thing you can have in this is a sense of humor and a lot of patience. Because I have found that, you know, negative reinforcement doesn't work well for this. Like, if you try to get after them, if they're screaming or stuff like that, they're just going to get more flustered. And likewise, if you just turn around and go, okay, and put them back out with their buddy, it's just going to amplify the behavior. So,
yeah, right.
You know,
moving forward.
Especially when I take these guys to horse shows for the first time and they're all of a sudden alone in an arena because they're doing an event where they're alone in an arena and their friends are at the stall or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of talking initially, and we just kind of ride it out. And then, you know, they go back to the bar and their friends are there. Oh, okay, it's fine. And then maybe even if we don't have something else to do, we go out again a little bit later and do something, you know, something short, a short exercise that ends in a positive note for the horse. They go back, they get their friends again, you know, repeat ad nauseum. And eventually they do learn that they're going to get to see them again. They have not been separated forever and the world has not come to an end. And, you know, it gets easier over time. But I think that we panic the minute that they call out or if they start amplifying behaviors, like maybe pushing towards the gate or not wanting to go away from home. Okay, well, let's back it up a step. If you're riding and your horse doesn't want to ride away from its buddies, hop down and let's lead it away from its buddies, right? Like, back up a step to something that is really comfortable and really familiar, and then add pressure the next time. Add something harder, a bigger question the next time.
Right.
And just
okay, that
going.
Kind of justifies how I like restart all the horses in the spring. Like, we all start within sight of each other and we don't go like gallivanting off to parts unknown right away. Like, nobody wants to die. So, like, we
right.
do this. Yeah, we're like, okay, we'll take this in baby steps, you know? So, okay. Mm. Yeah, that justifies my approach to that. So I also find too, like, you know, but like when we were doing that ranch series where we would see you sometimes, it's only 4 weekends. So
right.
when they have the other 50, well, other 48 weekends and weeks to be like joined at the hip, like 4
right.
shows is not enough time to like break that habit.
Yeah. And, you know, they are probably going to still be a little dramatic if they're not, you know, being separated more frequently than that. I tend to drag mine out around and about a lot against their will. Sometimes they might just rather be eating in the field with their friends. But, you know, for the people that don't even show necessarily, but want to be able to ride away from their other horses. Even things just as simple as, you know, taking a walk in hand, literally a 5-10 minute walk away from their buddies with lots of scratches, lots of treats. If there's an activity that your horse particularly likes, make sure to add that in when they're away from their friends so that it's not always bad to be by themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's great advice, Bridget, because even if you have a larger facility, like I'm at a boarding barn, there's lots of horses everywhere. I see so many times a new horse shows up and they become best friends with somebody all of a sudden. And I think when you get excited for your new horse, you just want to play with them and they want nothing to do with you. They want to be your best friend.
Yes.
It can be really discouraging that buyer's remorse can start to creep in.
Yeah, like, oh my God, I bought a spoiled animal. It's stuck to the
floor. Yeah, it's like actually they're just panic and they're looking for comfort.
They're herd animals, yeah, which I try to remind myself, but it's hard to remember sometimes.
Yeah.
And if you do have the luxury of having a lot of horses, you know, changing up who their friend is, if you have found that they are particularly attached to one certain horse and you have the option to spend a week turning them out with somebody different, provided that nobody's mean and trying to kill each other. But, you know, maybe letting them have multiple friends. I would like to joke that the solution for not being buddy sour is to just have enough horses that it never matters. But that's probably not a feasible
horse of the week.
Yeah, transition two.
You just need more.
Right. Yeah, I'll tell my husband that. Like Bridget said, this would fix it.
We endorse this as enablers on the show.
Yes.
This is the strategy. All right. Well, since we're there, we might as well talk about our adoptable horse of the week, who's absolutely delightful. This mare is like everything I love about the way a standardbred looks. Tell us a little bit about Dancing Trixie.
Oh, my gosh. I know a lot of people aren't mare people, but hear me out. Hear me out. This one is a good one. Honestly, I feel like a lot of mares are very work oriented. You know, maybe they're not as cuddly as people want them to be, but they're very like task oriented. So as soon as you give this little girl something to do, she is on it, like ready to go, and tries her darndest to do exactly what it is that you're asking of her. She's very brave. She's very willing. And she's really pretty too. Like, she's black and chunky and
she
precious.
Really looks like if you like made Wes a mare, like this is going to sound very biased because I think Wes is very cute, but I'm like, oh my God, this is like Lady Wes. Like she's
Lady Wes. So
she's like chunky and stocky and she looks very punchy. Like she looks like you want to throw a Western saddle on her and like just go to work.
Yes. I think she could go do lots and lots of things. You know, she raced on the pace, but she will trot under saddle. She's cantered a little bit for us under saddle. The options are endless with her. And she is 100% sound, no injuries. She just wasn't holding her speed around the turns enough to be super competitive. Her race owners were like, you know what? Let's let her just go be a riding horse then. And here she is. And she is lovely.
Oh, she's so cute. I'm watching her video with a junior rider, by the way. Just happily trucking around with this junior. Oh, there's a little bit of canter. I just skipped ahead. Look at that.
I want to advocate for the boss mare who likes her job. I had one of those. And while there were times I was not happy because I wanted to like Barbie horse her so bad. Like, get you the matchy-matchy outfits and do all the Instagram photos. She was not about it. Was not here for that. However, she jumped in the trailer. She was one of the most fun horses I had to ride. Like, when you have that partner who almost pushes you to be better, it really does change your riding game. Like, she taught me so, so much.
Oh, my God. Joy, you need this horse. I'm watching her go around.
She's beautiful. She's beautiful. And I don't need more, despite what I just told you about having lots of horses.
You don't have any herd sour ones, so you're fine. Yeah.
Exactly.
You don't have this problem.
I love it. She's beautiful. And Bridget, little did you know, this is a very mare heavy episode.
Oh,
yeah, good choice.
Whole episode. So you are on theme, whether you knew it or not. She seems perfect. What is the best way that people can bring her home?
They can contact me directly at Bridget@horseadoption.com. You can go on our website, horseadoption.com, or newvocations.org to see all of the horses we have, because I have a whole bunch of really nice standardbreds. And we have a lot of really nice thoroughbreds, too, but I have a whole bunch of really nice standardbreds.
Love it.
Perfect. So get your applications in, because they do go fast over here at New Vocations, because they do have such nice horses. We always love it. And Bridget, thank you so much for joining and sharing your insights. It's always appreciated.
Thank you guys for having me. Love to be here.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Follow the network on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer, and you can follow along with our new farm adventures on Instagram at Painted Forest Farm. My email is Kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare, and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and HRN, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, as it helps us grow. Remember to set your goals high and let's learn from every ride.
And as always, cow side leg.
Bye, guys.